The Hookup with Hannah Riley. Love and f***ing on Triple J.
Welcome to The Hookup. I'm Hannah Riley. We're a new show here on Sunday nights where we talk sex positively from the heart, about matters of the heart and matters of whatever you happen to have between your legs. Hey, it's Valentine's Day. It's the most romantic day of the year. So naturally, tonight we're going to be talking about sex with the most important person in your life. You guessed it, yourself. Things are going to get incredibly graphic tonight because we here at The Hookup thought, what better way to spend Valentine's Day, a day about, you know, sweet love and romance, than to talk about wanking? I guarantee we're all going to learn a hell of a lot tonight. Have you always found the lady orgasm a little bit elusive? Well, you wouldn't be the only one. And tonight we're going to be talking with the creators of OMG Yes. It's an interactive app that uses touchscreen technology to show you exactly how to give a lady an orgasm. And we'll be speaking to a tutor at RMIT's sex toy design course, which is the first of its kind in the world. Now, when a romantic self mood strikes, we're not always in the comfort of our own homes. Sometimes, you know, we're in a plane or a tent. And I want to know, where's the strangest place that you've had a maz? You may be camping on top of a mountain, could have been on the Great Wall of China, or maybe you were even up a tree. Give me a call on 1300 0555 36, or you can text me on 0439 757 555. Where's the weirdest place that you've had a wank? You're listening to The Hookup. My name's Hannah Riley. It's your show about relationships and sex here on a Sunday night. And since it is Valentine's Day, we're talking about self-love. And we asked you, where is the weirdest place that you've had a maz? And we've had some fantastic responses. Mark says, out the back of breaking waves on a nude beach in Mexico. Bree from Whirlgull says, very comfortable with my body. I had a masty with a cucumber on my roof on my house when I was a teenager. Ah, good old days when you didn't have a worry. I can't say that the image of masturbating with a cucumber on a rooftop is my, you know, idyllic teenage image, but you know, I love it. Since it is Valentine's Day, as I said, we're talking about self-love. Like, some people might say Valentine's Day is a day for couples, but what about you? When was the last time you showed you cared? So we say tonight on Valentine's Day, you should pour yourself a glass of wine, put on your favorite album and have a ménage à moi. And, you know, there might be a couple of critics out there who might say to us here at The Hookup, oh, don't you think it's a bit sad that on Valentine's Day, the most romantic day of the year, you know, like a day specifically designed to celebrate being in a loving relationship, you talk about masturbating for 2 hours? To which we say, no. And to quote Annie Hall, don't knock masturbation. It's sex with someone that I love. There's a lot of talk today about how finding someone else to be in a relationship with and falling in love is the be-all and end-all on Valentine's Day. But we here at The Hookup reckon you should fall in love with yourself first. I hit the street last night and asked a bunch of strangers to talk to me about masturbating. Where's the strangest place that you've masturbated?
I've bad off a few times at work, actually, not going to lie.
On a train in India.
The Portaloo.
I did in a friend's bathroom once.
At Bed Bath & Beyond in America when I was on holidays. That was pretty weird.
Outside my friend's stairwell.
Once in the scoreboard of the rugby club that I played for.
Have you guys ever masturbated to something that isn't porn?
Oh, I used to, this isn't great, but I used to bat off over my mum's Woman's Day magazines.
Peaches when I was in high school.
Literally the thought of any woman.
PE, thighs for days. And let me tell you, best 3.5 minutes of my life. This is pretty weird, but you remember Nonna from Better Homes and Gardens?
Would either of you consider having just like a really romantic Valentine's Day wank?
Probably not. I don't really get that much into wanking. It's, you know, just get it over and done with.
How can anyone say a wank is as sensual as having sex?
I love myself.
Yeah,
she's going to have a lady jam tomorrow. I'm
going to
have a semi.
You know what? I deserve it. You know, I've really worked hard this week. Sometimes you just got to let yourself know. You're a nice person. You work hard. time to enjoy yourself.
The Hookup. Love and f***ing on Triple J.
That was some of the responses after I hit the street last night and asked a bunch of people about masturbating. And my favourite response by far was the guy who said that to the question, have you ever masturbated to something that isn't porn? And he just said, to the thought of any woman ever. I thought that was adorable. And strangely, a lot of women were pretty reluctant to talk to me. So ladies, please get on the phone. 1-300-055-36. Share your masturbation stories. Because ladies, getting off alone is still such a taboo. The word clit still gets beeped on television. Sort it out, Hollywood. Now, coming up. Have you ever wondered how sex toys are made? Like, who tests them? Up next, I'll introduce you to Victoria Cullen. She's from RMIT, and she's helped start the world's first sex toy design course. She's going to be filling us in, lol, and telling us which one is right for you. Since it is Valentine's Day, we're talking all about self-love. Pretty much we're talking about wanking for the whole show. Now, Melissa from Parramatta, you want to dispel the myth that ladies don't do it every day.
Yeah, well, hello. Nice to talk to you.
You too.
I just wanted to say I did hear that you said you had a lot of females that were reluctant to speak to you about the whole masturbation thing.
Yeah, a lot were quite shy.
Yeah, well, I find that really surprising, and I just wanted to say that as a female, masturbation is something I'm not ashamed of, and it's something that I think should be done every day, just to clear the mind, and it is something that is well-deserved as well.
Yeah, it's like an apple a day, right?
Yes, keeps the doctor away, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Are you having a good Valentine's Day?
I actually am. I went to the Catalinas at Rose Bay. So that was amazing.
Oh, beautiful. Were you there on a date or just there on a solo lady date? Maybe you had a Maz there.
No. I was on an actual date, which was amazing. But no doubt if I wasn't on an actual date, I would definitely have ended the night with a particular device.
Well, that's great to hear, Melissa. Thank you so much. You are listening to The Hookup here on Triple J. As I said, this Valentine's Day, we're talking about self-love. And I'm actually joined by Victoria Cullen. She's a tutor from RMIT who have started the world's first sex toy design course. Victoria, thank you so much for joining The Hookup.
Hello, Hannah. Thank you for having me. I'm very privileged to be here as the orgasm spirit guide of the night. It's
now,
good.
Firstly, I want to ask you, and look, I'm asking this on behalf of a friend, okay? I want to make that clear. Is it possible for you to burn your clit off from using a vibrator too much or, like, on the setting too high?
I want to meet all these friends that people ask me questions on behalf of. The world population is a lot bigger than I think we realise.
Yeah, look, the friend lives interstate. Don't talk to them often. They just really want to know.
For sure. And I know a few people do. I've had that question a few times. A lot of my job is kind of myth debunking, just taking out the garbage. So this is not actually true. Like, you can actually overdo pretty much anything in life. If you have got a Hitachi just jammed on your bits, like for 10 hours a day, you will experience some desensitization. If you feel like you are becoming desensitized by potentially the amount you are masturbating with a vibrator, just leave it off for a few days. It will come back.
Okay, great. I'll tell that to my friend. Now, why do you think we need a course like this from RMIT?
Well, look, in the world of design, we concentrate on every industry in the world that is big and impacts people's lives. We will look at, you know, transportation, we'll look at the future of work, the future of the workplace. We all have sex. It's something very universal. Even if someone's asexual, they've thought about sex at least. This is a billion-dollar industry. It's been estimated as making sort of 10 times the amount of Hollywood, yet how is this not actually being concentrated on in an academic circumstance with designers? Why isn't this, you know, legitimate considering, you know, the side effects that are all positive that masturbation in particular has attached to it?
Sorry to interrupt. I was going to say I was quite shocked that this was a world first. It really struck me.
No, absolutely. You're saying a lot of people might be hesitant to call in. Fewer people will put their hands up to sort of say, yeah, I want to really legitimize this industry. I want to, you know, be the dildo slinger, essentially, that's going to, like, lead us into a beautiful orgasmic future. Still a taboo, but it's definitely changing.
So what initially got you interested in designing sex toys?
I fell into this very accidentally. I was working just in tech in general, really on the software side, working with startups, looking into kind of user behavior and how you can make really exceptional products for people. I started to look into 3D printing, and quite early on into that, that exploration led into, well, obviously, you know, every piece of tech we've made so far, we've tried to have sex with it.
Like, I love that. Oh, my God.
You know, we made the internet, so like, oh, we'll use this to watch our porn, and then actually that's probably why Google is as successful as it is today. So
the first thing is never how can this new technology cure cancer or solve, you know, all wars. It's how can I have sex with it?
It's so true. It's, yeah, it's like, how do I put this on my bits to make me feel good? Always. So looking into 3D printing, looked into, well, yeah, this probably will revolutionize the sex toy industry, you know, like, here you go, you can print out anything you want in your home, alone, any object that you desire, off you go. So I worked just to look more into this, discovered just this industry itself is so interesting. It's still unregulated. It's still a taboo. It's something that crosses so, like, so much with the medical sphere, and the fact that the vibrator actually first came out of medicine, trying to, you know, cure women of hysteria.
Oh, I love that.
In England. And so you think, you know, so handies used to be on Medicare. How are we not even still talking about that? That's hilarious.
One thing that I am really curious about is, how are they tested? What's the process?
So it will vary from company to company. The really reputable bigger brands who have got good teams of designers and engineers, it's the top tip I'd give to anybody searching for a sex toy at the moment. Go with a reputable brand who care about their reputation. Mm-hmm. Your materials will be good. Like I said, unregulated. It's cowboy country. So some really like good brands will have just a pool of genuine just humans who love toys, and they will send out usually testers for them to, have a go at.
Have you ever been a tester?
Have
you ever been a tester for new kinds of toys?
No, I've never had the joy of being a tester, and I'm now thinking a lot of companies are going to be overwhelmed the next day with sort of inbox requests from Australians asking to be a tester.
So what are some of the innovations that are happening in the industry right now?
It's just huge, Hannah. It's really cool. The fact that just more disciplines are getting involved, seeing that happen is drastic. RMIT taking the punt on doing a sex toy design course. I sort of made contact with more companies, and it shows more designers are going in, more engineers, people from different backgrounds. That's sort of just increasing the quality of the toys. There's also a huge crossover with just sort of what the rest of technology is doing. You're seeing a lot more of the app-controlled toys. You're seeing more the crossover with sort of like chat rooms and obviously, you know, there's an intersection, with porn and virtual reality. And, so in the next 5 years will be very interesting.
Now, Lucy from Canberra says, ladies, it's great to masturbate. I do it most times I'm in the shower. I feel sexy and happy and sensual. Great to know you, VJ, and yourself, and what you like and what works for you. Power to you. So there's obviously people out there that are quite excited at hearing, you know, the discussion of something that is otherwise quite taboo. Do you find that strange?
No, not at all. Most people will at dinner, like sort of the dinner party scenario, when they ask me what I do, they'll say, oh, that must be a really hard like conversation to get into with people about what you do, but I find it fascinating. And I sort of think, no, every single person has the reaction. When I say I work in the sex toy industry, they just have a plethora of questions. You know, often it leads to I have to sit in front of the internet with them and guide them through to find a toy for them. Everyone wants to talk about this. Like everyone, and we just need some more places you can do this, more avenues, more acceptability. We need to lose this idea of sort of otherness, that there's sort of like, oh, I'm okay with it, but there's all these other people who won't be okay with it.
Absolutely.
It doesn't exist. We're all actually at the stage where we're just fine.
You're listening to The Hookup. It's a brand new show here on Sunday nights about relationships and sex, and we are talking about self-love on Valentine's Day. I'm joined by Victoria Cullen. She's from the world's first sex toy design course at RMIT in Melbourne. And we've got a call from Ash from Melbourne. Mate, your sex toys met an unfortunate end. What happened?
They did. I was living in Perth at the time, and summer of 2011, 2012 was like the hottest summer on record or something, and it was like 2 weeks straight of the temperature didn't get below 30 degrees at night or anything. It was horrendous. And I lived in this old house, and heat tends to get trapped. So I had my toy drawer.
As everyone does.
Yeah, and my room basically got so hot that two of my dildos melted together into the base of the drawer.
To make a super dildo or just to make an incredible mess?
Well, a super dildo that could make an incredible mess, I don't know. it was like some would see it as a challenge, but I just it was pretty upsetting.
Oh my God, yeah. Ashley, poor thing.
Yeah.
So Victoria, what is the returns policy for people like Ash on sex toys?
Oh, I'd say go back in time and do not buy a toy that will melt. Good toys are made out of medical-grade silicon, usually.
Right.
So, and silicon will not melt on you. You can actually put a flame on good quality silicon and it will not melt. You can actually then wipe just the surface and it will be pristine. So I'd say, yeah, go back in time and try not to buy your jelly or your rubber dildos. If you are buying something and it smells a bit like a rubber or petroleum, it's got a jellyish texture, I'd stay quite clear of it. Or if you do own one of those and it is your pride and joy, stick a condom on it before you use it, just to avoid any kind of nasties being in your body.
Oh, we are learning so much here tonight. Now, we've got a question on the text line. What about boy toys? Who's designing those?
Oh, very good question. There are a lot of toys that have been designed for anyone who is in possession of a penis or a prostate in particular. So there's a lot of really great prostate massages on the market at the moment. Every actually big company really usually has their own line of male toys. But it depends what you mean by a gendered toy. You know, a lot of toys, they're actually just genderless and they're how you want to enjoy them.
So you've brought a couple of toys in tonight. Now, we should say that not all are created equal and not all of them do the same thing. What should first-timers be looking for in a sex toy?
Sure. I want to put a caveat on the end of what I said as well. Just if you did want to, as a boy, stick something up your bum, just make sure it's got a flared base. You thought I'd be like the fun one. I'm actually like health and safety officer here in the studio. Well,
that's, you know, safety first. They taught us that from, you know, the first day of school. So not much has changed. Flared base. Got
sure.
it.
Flared base, do not be that person with the A&E story. First-time toy buyers. So as an occupational hazard, I am expected to turn up to all friends' parties and events like loaded with vibrators for them. If I turn up with a candle, they're like, how do I fuck this? What is this? I'm very acquainted with this. I recommend, if I'm going for a vibrator that has a really amazing kind of long curved structure, this one therefore can be used sort of for an external massage or for internal. Now when you're doing some internal exploration, that's often I'm in a really beautiful like female run sex shop that sell like real nice quality toys, and a lot of the women who come in will say like, I want to have one of those internal orgasms, like it's kind of this hierarchy of orgasm, and that's, you know, like the golden goose. If you're going for that, just be so patient with yourself. If you haven't had one before, it might take your brain some time to adjust to like what you're doing, as if you've just discovered like a third leg and you're trying to sprint on it, you know. Take it easy. But yeah, if you get a toy that can do the internals, that's great, you have that option.
Actually, speaking of that, we've got a call from Steve. Thanks for calling the hookup.
Hi, how are you going?
Yeah, really well, thanks. So you wanted to ask, what can guys learn in terms of how to please women from sex toys?
Yeah, no, I was just wondering, like, for, you know, a really high-end sex toy or, you know, the way design's going, what sort of tips could a guy pick up to, I guess, please his lady? You know, all these amazing, wonderful sex toys, you know, out here now.
What do you reckon, Victoria?
Yeah, I think that's a really, really great question. I'd say definitely asking your partner, hey, do you have a sex toy right now that you love? Could I actually sort of see how you like to use it? Could you tell me how you like to use it? That's a great way of learning more about what your lover likes. So I have a phrase I like called the erotic snowflake, where we all have sort of similar looking bits. Everything's placed a little bit differently and we all respond to different things. So view sex toys really as tools for self-exploration. You will learn something more about your body, and then you'll be able to communicate it better to your partner around what it is that you do like. If you did want to use specifically an internal toy actually on your partner, I often recommend just going for something with a really flexible shaft, just so you don't have to worry about that you might poke something. And communication, that's always, in the end, you know, the underlying, like, crux of it. You can have a toy, but if you can't tell somebody how you like to use it, then...
it's no good.
Yeah.
And you've actually got something that is quite well designed for people long distance. Could you tell us about that?
Absolutely. So I have a little one here in the studio that is a U-shaped vibrator.
I should explain for the listeners at home. It's it's bright purple, and it kind of looks like, you know, those rubber, like, oven mitts that you can get that you clamp onto the oven handle with? It kind of looks like a much sexier version of that.
That's a really good description. I've told parents who worry what they'll say to their kids when they find it, that it looks a bit like a Star Trek Enterprise when it's on its side.
It does.
So you can go with that as well. It definitely is a clamp. So the idea is it can be worn actually on a vagina. And so a partner could potentially sort of slip in if they have a penis and feel the sensation as well. It's got two motors. If you're in the long distance scenario, you could be using this for, you know, yourself high fives while you're on Skype. They're on the other end with a smartphone app that controls the toy.
Wow. And speaking of its motors, is it possible for you to turn it on for us to hear, you know, what it can do?
I don't know if you can sort of...
I can hear that. It sounds so
worried.
Like
the mic is. I'm so worried the mic is massively amplifying this toy that describes itself as whisper quiet.
It sounds like bees in a river or something. It's quite an interesting noise. Now, you've brought a third one in, and the tech has been inspired by NASA technology.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, a nice classic example where the world comes up with a new piece of technology and we go, let's put it inside ourselves and see if it gives us an orgasm. So this one is called a pulsator.
Wow. That one actually sounds like a cat purring. And I should say this is a more classic dildo, and it's got a bit that kind of flips over to where I'm guessing the clitoris is meant to be, that kind of looks like a stingray.
Yes, that's absolutely it. Yeah, in shop we call this one the stingray. Yeah, it can be on the clitoris. You could also, whack this guy the other way around, have it on the perineum. Again, it's your toy. The world is your oyster. Yeah, go crazy. And it rocks back and forth. It has a big metal weight on the inside, electromagnets either end, and it just really goes for it.
Victoria, now I should catch people up. Victoria is from the world's first sex toy design course at RMIT. To finish us up, why do you think talking about masturbation is such a taboo, even in 2016?
That's such a good, good question. I think we sort of just haven't even had the conversation enough about why it is a taboo, even before we do talk about it being a taboo. I think as a culture, we've gotten used to sort of what we see as socially acceptable behavior and socially unacceptable. And I think a lot of that comes from television and the media. So it's, you know, I can always name just more examples where, especially you've seen sort of male masturbation than female masturbation in just mainstream sort of cinema. And then on top of, but masturbation in general, it just doesn't get much of a shoo-in. You don't see it in the newspaper every day. You don't see it anywhere near as, you don't see it on usually educational curriculums. It's visibility. I think our brain is definitely wired to be wary of things that we just don't see around us often. It sort of almost takes it in as like, well, this must be bad for some reason, but it's not. You mentioned earlier about the whole apple a day keeps the doctor away. I want every doctor in the country saying a stroke a day keeps a stroke away, because having an orgasm 3 times a week, you lower your chances of stroke later on in life by 30%. That's more than any kind of exercise or diet will do for you.
Well, Victoria Cullen, thank you so much for joining the hookup and doing your part to get rid of some of that invisibility when it comes to female pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much, Hannah. Bye.
You're listening to The Hookup here on Triple J. Good golly gosh, we are certainly learning a lot tonight. It is Valentine's Day and we're talking about self-love, masturbation in all of its different forms. We just had Victoria Cullen from RMIT. They're doing the world's first sex toy design course. And we just got an anonymous text. Someone just heard the pulsator, the vibrator that she just turned on before, and they say, I have that toy and it's amazing. And I must say, that's in all caps. Now, coming up, we'll be talking about why we have a hard time talking about this kind of stuff with someone who gets a lot of questions about masturbation through her sex ed blog for young women. And it's Valentine's Day. It's the most romantic day of the year. So we're talking about sex with the very most important person in your life. And that would be you. And I'm joined by friend of the show, Tash Gillizzo. She's a writer for GQ and a co-creator of Boobs, Bumps and Blood. It's a sex and relationships blog. Tash, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks so much for having me, Hannah.
Now, this blog, could you tell us a little bit about how it works?
Yeah, sure. So Boobs, Bumps, Blood, I guess, is a feminist-orientated sex education blog. Primarily aimed at teenage women. It's answering their questions about sex, relationships, mental illness on a slightly deeper level than what they're getting at school.
I'd say they're getting next to nothing at most schools. I know I certainly didn't get nearly as much information as I'd like. At those years are the hardest, I think.
Definitely. The gaps in the curriculum are huge, especially when it comes to queer sex ed or talking about asexuality or masturbation. There's basically no information for them apart from porn, their peers or their parents if they're lucky. So trying to kind of fill that void with kind of better advice on what they might be getting otherwise.
So how often are people writing to you about masturbation?
Well, masturbation is actually a question that we get a lot. So one of the functions of the blog is people send us anonymous questions and we have a team of people, including myself, a woman called Casey, who's awesome, and then law students, med students, LGBT people answering. And we get questions often from teenage girls, which can just be like, how do I masturbate?
Mm.
Or something that simple. Or a question that we got really recently was, I feel really guilty after I masturbate. What can I do about this kind of thing? And then we answer those.
So apart from how, what other kinds of questions are you getting? Like, is it wrong? I guess that kind of ties in with the guilt sort of questions.
A real theme that comes through is I feel ashamed after I masturbate. I like the feeling, but straight afterwards I feel kind of guilty or whatever. And that's definitely a feeling that I can relate to within my own experience. Like, I'm not just like this person who's like, oh yes, sex, it was so easy for me. Like, I had trouble when I was in high school with masturbating because I sort of saw myself as this very good girl. And masturbating really undermine how I self-conceptualized. But then I've come to realize that sexuality, owning your sexuality and masturbating is a really, really important, healthy part of a sexual identity. But it has taken me years, but that's kind of what we talk about with the girls or young boys who are writing into our site.
Yeah, and especially in those younger years with that kind of male-female dynamic, boys talking about masturbating almost every day is just a kind of social given. But if a girl's like raised their hand and was like, hey, I like to masturbate sometimes, there would be like gasps. And it's such a shame.
Totally.
And that's so great that, you know, blogs like this are able to give, you know, girls outlets to be able to talk about this kind of stuff. How are people reacting to this kind of conversation online?
Well, we get kind of the spectrum of responses. So sometimes when I give out advice, we'll get, you know, a flurry of questions being like, ew, you masturbate, that's disgusting, which to me is so indicative that these conversations need to happen. But we also get, you know, private messages being like, thank you so much, this has helped me understand. I mean, something that I say is I think that people don't understand how much Judeo-Christian thought has influenced our thinking about masturbation. This is not a comment on organized religion writ large, but a lot of religion, even if you're not religious, we've automatically been opted into a system where religious thought really permeates through our societies. If you go to a Christian school or a Catholic school, the main messaging you're getting there is that sex and masturbation is wrong unless it's for reproduction. Add that to women, there's a secondary layer, which is women aren't seen as sexual beings and your sexuality is important. So you get this idea in high school that women are like resisting sex, but men want it all the time,
yeah,
which is obviously wrong. It's obviously very heteronormative. So we're trying to like peel back those layers of thought, those sexist layers, those kind of like influences of organized religion, and say sex is something that's really healthy and so is masturbation.
Gabby on the text line says she didn't have a problem with masturbation at high school. I once masturbated at school in the bathroom right before an English exam to calm me down. That's actually a great idea. I'd never even thought of that.
That is so awesome. I wish I had had the, I was going to say balls to do it, but I should say clit to do it.
Yeah.
Gabby, go you.
Were there any myths about masturbation that you heard when you were younger?
Yeah, definitely. I genuinely believed that sex toys, if you use them, were desensitizing. So yeah. I didn't buy a vibrator until a year ago.
Right. I thought that as well.
Yeah, right? I don't even know where we got that from.
It was like the vibrator would, you know, make sex with a guy not as good. Anyway, it's crazy. What were some of the myths that you've heard maybe as a kid about masturbating that was just not true? I'd love to hear from you. 1-300-055-36 is the number to call, or you can text me on 0439-757-555. It's your safe, sex-positive Sunday night space to talk about sex and relationships. And look, it's the most romantic day of the year. It's Valentine's Day. So we at The Hookup decided that we were going to talk about wanking for the show. I'm joined by Natasha Gilzo. She's a writer for GQ and one of the co-creators of a sex ed blog for young women called Boobs, Bumps and Blood. Now, Tash, you grew up in a pretty open household, but yet there was no talk of masturbation for young Tash.
Yeah, so, I mean, my parents were teenagers of the 70s. They're open-minded on things like sex, drugs, or, you know, self-expression. But, and to be fair to them, if they had sat me down at 12 and been like, let's have the masturbation chat, I would have been like, Mom, Dad, we're not doing this.
Yeah.
So I don't want to disparage them. But even though I had the talk about sex from quite a young age, masturbation and having sex with yourself wasn't discussed. And I think that is therefore the duty lies with cinematic representation, singing about it, like, blogs and the internet that isn't porn, to sort of take up that burden and talk about masturbation and talk about female masturbation in particular.
Yeah, because a lot of the ways that I've seen female masturbation portrayed in film and cinema is that the woman is either insane, that she's going to kill people, or that she's some sort of, like, in some way mentally deranged, a la Black Swan.
Oh, yeah, because the hypersexualized woman must have some sort of mental illness, right? Because that wouldn't be normal for her. Yeah, it's pretty problematic.
We were talking about myths about masturbation before, that, you know, if you used a sex toy, your vagina would be null and void and wouldn't be able to feel anything anymore.
Yeah.
Adam, thanks for calling. Oh, no, Adam's gone. It's too real.
Hey, it was just like, no.
It was just like, no, thanks. Some other myths that were circling around, that it makes you go blind.
Yeah, that's pretty hardcore. I mean, I think masturbation can only make you go blind from ecstasy, but not actually blind.
Now, coming up, do you find the female orgasm a little bit elusive? Do you want to learn how to give better orgasms to your favorite vagina? Well, stay with me, because up next, I'm going to be talking to the co-creators of OMG Yes. It's a new startup that will teach you everything that you need to know about making some lucky lady the happiest woman on earth. Tash Gilizzo, thank you so much for joining The Hookup.
Thank you so much, Hannah. It's been really lovely to chat to you.
Happy Valentine's Day. You're listening to The Hookup. It's your show about sex and relationships. My name's Hannah Riley. As it is Valentine's Day, we're talking all about self-love, mostly and very specifically about masturbation. Now, Gabby, thanks for calling The Hookup.
Hello.
Now, you didn't start enjoying sex until you started masturbating.
God, no. It took a long time coming. Very long time.
Great pun, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
So how old were you when you actually started to enjoy it?
Look, it took me till about the age of 22, honestly. Like, it really was a few years of confusion and disappointment together.
And so this only came after you started masturbating? Like, I mean, what took you so long to start masturbating?
I think, like, I was really scared to masturbate. I tried definitely. It once when I was quite young. And, you know, you see it in the occasional movie, that sort of thing. The boys have watched porn and, like, just stick a finger in and you'll love it.
Oh, my God, put that on a T-shirt. What
exactly.
a slogan.
Exactly. And you give it a go and you sort of stick it in and nothing happens. And you get a bit underwhelmed and freaked out, and then...
And it's also the feeling of like, oh, well, I guess it's just not for me. I guess I'm just not a sexual person.
Exactly. Honestly, I was looking up asexuality because I was convinced I was convinced I was broken.
Gabby, you're definitely not broken. And we're going to be talking heaps more about female pleasure just coming up. We just received a text. I went to a school with really intense and in-depth sex ed. In year 11, a lady came in to talk about guys and gals about masturbation. They brought a bunch of toys and, most importantly, normalized the idea of self-pleasure. Oh, my God, I would have done anything to, you know, be at a school with sex ed like that. Ours was just, they show you the video of the baby coming out of the vagina, and that's pretty much it. Now, female orgasms have long been seen as some kind of witchcraft, this rare mythical beast, and they're mostly achieved just by blind luck. Or worse, that if a woman has trouble having an orgasm, that there's something wrong with her, like we heard from Gabby earlier, and that, you know, that kind of sexuality just isn't possible. Well, two tech entrepreneurs have decided to do something about it. Linda Danila and Rob Perkins have just launched something called OMG Yes. It's a new startup from the US that has taken feedback from thousands of women and uses touchpad technology that shows you exactly how they like to be touched. I chatted to them earlier about how they went about demystifying female pleasure.
We did the first ever research into the specific ways that women find pleasure, like the actual kinds of touch. It had never really been researched by science before. And then we made a site to get all those findings out to the world with touchable simulations and real women sharing and showing each different technique we found in the research on their bodies.
In video, in case that isn't clear. There are videos of women demonstrating and sharing their insights around pleasure.
It's real vaginas up close showing you exactly, real women demonstrating exactly how to make themselves come. Now, how did you guys come up with this idea?
So this began as a conversation among friends, which then led to a realization about just how rare it is to talk about the specifics in this way. You know, why in this day and age is this still a taboo? But the thing is, it's too important to ignore.
Seems like the female orgasm is treated like a bit of a Loch Ness, this mysterious, unknowable thing.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it's strange. Like, there's no other topic in science where the experts say, well, everyone's different, so, you know, figure it out. There's literally no other human pursuit where, you know, like curiosity doesn't drive more research and institutions don't fund the research if it's about pleasure.
So both of us are really interested in storytelling. So we started out by talking to lots of women, actually over 1,000, about what felt good to them and basically wanted to hear their stories about their insights and their aha moments along their sexual journey and how they figured out what they like. Then we reached out to Debbie Herbenik at Indiana University and the Kinsey Institute to basically do the first large-scale research on the specifics.
All of the ways that these women are shot is really beautiful, and it's quite shocking as a viewer. Well, more surprising to see vaginas close up that, you know, aren't in a sex ed context and have like a baby coming out of them, or in a highly pornographic context. It was really interesting to see from a viewer's perspective.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool to sort of chart new ground a little bit there, where it's not clinical, but it's also not like, hey, baby, arousing. And so just, we wanted it to just feel like you're just hanging out with very open friends who are saying, hey, this is what I like, and this is why, and this is how I found it, and now you can try it with me, and I'll tell you how it's going.
Yeah, it's like it's like you've popped over to a mate's house, and they've just got their pants off and are just showing you how they like to have an orgasm. Now, off the top of your heads, can you name variations of female pleasure that you identified on the site?
So these were prevalent ingredients to pleasure. There are lots more, but we decided to start with these 12 because they came up time and time again as important factors in pleasure. So some of the ones we go into are consistency, the importance of keeping something the same. Then there's a technique called edging, which is approaching orgasm and then intentionally withholding.
Which is like 7 out of 10 women. These are all the like most prevalent ones. Mm-hmm. Orbiting, which is different kinds of continuous circular motions. And staging, which is about how you like different things at the very beginning and then just after that and then the middle.
And then there's surprise, which is leaving something up to chance a bit,
keeping the nerves guessing.
Yeah, keeping yourself or your partner in a state of surprise.
And there's framing, which is different psychological stuff, like thinking about coming can prevent coming for a lot of people, or just different ways that your head gets into it. There's signaling, which is different ways of communicating without hurting feelings and making it sort of fun, you know, like some of them are kind of tricks women have, like to say, to basically move someone's hand in a certain way and then say, wow, I really like what you're doing.
Positive and make feedback.
Make them think it was their idea.
Throughout doing this project, what for you guys did you find most personally surprising about all of these findings?
Well, the reaction of all the users that we get is sort of the same as ours, which is a bit of a holy shit. You know, like I knew that people were different, but wow, it's different. Mm. You know, like if one person likes could actually hurt for someone else, or even could hurt, you know, or feel uncomfortable 30 seconds earlier. And it's kind of complicated, and really that makes it all the more interesting.
Yeah. And I'd say it's been fun to be constantly almost contradicted. Like one person will say that consistency is the most important factor, and then the next person we talk to would say the exact opposite. So there really is just such a wide range of diversity out there.
Have you had any backlash?
We thought we'd have a lot more haters.
Of course there are some, you know, silly folk out there who think, I don't know, that this should be behind closed doors, or that it's too explicit to share.
Yeah, we think that in 100 years, when they look back on us today, like the same way we look back on people 100 years, is just sort of old-timey horse and carriage. I think we're still sort of in the dark ages with the way that we don't talk about this stuff and don't have words for these different things, and, you know, that faking it still exists, and that, you know, we just think that there's a lot more progress to be made, and that we're sort of still in the 50s. Like if you think about the 50s and homosexuality and how it wasn't talked about, and it was, you know, there's all this shame and alienation, and how oral sex was considered obscene. We think that's going to change with women's pleasure as well.
The Hookup on Triple J.
That was my chat with the creators of OMG Yes, a startup in the US that's all about demystifying women's pleasure. Now, we've kind of established that this is a rarely spoken about thing, masturbation. So now's your chance to actually ask someone who knows what they're talking about. Because coming up, we're going to be joined by Susie Tuxwell. She's a sex and relationship counsellor who works extensively in men's health, talking about the benefits of jacking off and the problems that can come up. Susie Tuxwell, she's a sex and relationships counsellor. Thank you so much for joining The Hookup.
Oh, great pleasure.
Now, we've actually got Adam. How are you, Adam?
I'm pretty good, thank you. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Now, sexual myths about masturbating. You were told quite a cracker.
All right. Well, I thought about my old man. He caught me about when I was 9 or 8 years old. Mm-hmm. And he walked in and he said, oh, if you play with it too much, mate, it'll fall off.
Oh, my God. You know what? Has it?
Hey?
Has it fallen off?
No, it hasn't, thank God.
Well, yet, you know.
Yeah, oh, not yet.
Anyway. Now, Susie, you must encounter a bunch of sexual myths in your profession. Can you tell us about some we may not have heard of?
Well, these go back a couple of hundred years, actually, but they go back to the days of the huge, what used to be called insane asylums, when people were locked up and the doctors of the time, who were pretty primitive in their understanding of mental illness, noted that these people who had nothing much to do masturbated a lot. So they made correlation, causality, and said, this is what's going to happen to you. You are going to go completely mad. You're going to go blind. You're going to go very, very ill. You're going to get hairy palms.
That one's got to just be made up, because there's not a single human that's ever lived that's had hairy palms from masturbating.
Oh, it worked well, though.
Maybe they're talking about pubes getting stuck to your hands, potentially.
Maybe. But so people became absolutely terrorised, as you can imagine. There wasn't an illness that couldn't be caused by masturbation. And in fact, it became such a worry in the 19th century, in the last century, that people were desperate to control the lusts of young men. I don't think women were supposed to be masturbating at all because they didn't have sexual feelings. But young men were meant to be going out using their energies to conquer colonies and climb mountains, and definitely not become what they were threatened with, which was to become weak and feeble through the excessive masturbation. And so people like Mr. Graham in the States developed Graham crackers, and in fact Mr. Kellogg's developed Kellogg's cornflakes, even more famous, to provide a bland diet that wouldn't overexcite the young men.
Oh, and it's still working to this day.
I'm sure that, you know, everyone who takes their cornflake in the morning is grateful. Yes.
You are listening to The Hookup on Triple J. It's a brand new show here on Sunday nights, all about love and sex. My name's Hannah Riley, and I'm joined by sex and relationships counsellor Susie Tuckwell. Now, since it is Valentine's Day, we're talking about self-love and masturbation. Now, Susie, is there any wrong way to masturbate or some bad practices?
Great question, Hannah. I really do think that if you're going to be enjoying yourself with masturbation, it has got to be one of the places in your life where you can just do whatever you want to do and have a great time doing it.
You know, we're already like nanny stated about so many things in our lives.
Exactly. I think there's got to be one place in your life where you can just have a bit of fun according to your own lights. However, one tiny caveat, which is that, again, we're talking about the chaos and intrusive nature of family life. And so people sometimes resort to some maybe more unusual ways. So the average man, for example, uses one hand up and down the shaft and the head of the penis to masturbate. Mm-hmm. But for some people, they go a little bit more creative. And so they'll be watching TV at the age of 10 and discover that, oh, this is a bit good on the carpet there, and they're developing. So that develops into a habit. Mm-hmm. Things like bedclothes, things like the corner of the sofa, things like that can become, pretty nice. And then it becomes the habit, and then it becomes quite grooved into behaviour. And what that does is make people accustomed to things like a lot of friction, a lot of pressure, a lot of speed sometimes. And so that's all fine and dandy if they're only pleasing themselves. But once it comes to partnered sex, that doesn't work so well. Speed, on the whole, does not make you an appealing partner. And, of course, neither a rectum nor a vagina will give you anything like the pressure and the friction of rubbing yourself against the carpet, for example. So people have to, if they generally find that they have to reevaluate their practices.
That's right. You're listening to The Hookup with myself, Hannah Riley. Thanks for joining us on Valentine's Day. It is simply the most romantic night of the year. And we're talking about self-love and masturbation on the show tonight, as you do. Now, I'm joined by Susie Tuckwell. She's a sex and relationships counsellor. And I'm also joined by friend of the show, Cameron James. He's a comedian and co-host of the Blank Slate podcast. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hannah, thank you for having me. Nice to meet you, Susie.
You too.
What an absolute pleasure.
Now, Jason, thank you so much for calling The Hookup.
Yep, how you going?
Really well, thanks. Now, what did you want to ask Susie?
All right, so my question for Susie was, like, you were going through the benefits of masturbation before. So what about the benefits of, like, abstaining from masturbation?
Well, great question. It's we haven't been covering that much tonight,
no,
have we? I'm sure you'd remember from your possible football playing days that football coaches have always said no sex, no masturbation the night before the game, based, I think, on building up a bit of that testosterone. But are there benefits? I think the benefit will be an internal benefit, surely, of feeling that you're doing something that is right for you. And that's what all this self-love is about, looking after yourself.
Yeah, because sometimes you're just, like, not into it. And sometimes you're like, if I don't want to go near it, why should I make anyone else? Just leave it alone.
But also, as a guy, sometimes you'll just do it because there's nothing else to do in the moment. You'll be like, well, I've got half an hour, I'll have a shower, grind one out, have a bowl of cornflakes.
YouTube clip is just buffering.
Yeah, exactly.
You got a good 30 seconds. Now, Cameron, I should thank you from the bottom of my heart because mm-hmm. it is Valentine's Day, and actually both of you, Susie and Cameron, you both have partners. Mm. Cameron, you have a soon-to-be wife that you've left behind to come and talk about jacking off here tonight.
Yeah, I got a fiancé, Knowles, back at home, and she said, look, it's either me or it's your career, and I chose media.
You made the right choice.
I'm married to my art, guys. All I can say is sacrifice your career or or your relationship, one or the other. Choose one.
You can only have one.
Yeah.
Now, you were caught masturbating when you were 15. Can you talk us through it?
Yeah, I had a full-on, like, ritual when I used to do it. I never would go unless I knew I was alone in the house. Never. I would always make sure I'm alone. Sometimes weeks would go by and I'd, you know, like, come close to calling in bomb threats and stuff. But I used to wait till I was alone. I'd watch the car drive down the road. Then I'd go onto the Foxtel Adults Only channel, which I had to hack the code on that because mum and dad put a blocker on it. I figured out what the code was. It was 1610, which is actually mum's birth date. And I haven't read into that too much. I'm going to try and avoid thinking about that for the rest of my life. And I used to just, you know, have a fun time with myself. I remember one time I'd finished and I was pretty impressed with my performance and and then I heard a car start up out the front and I looked onto the driveway and I could see a ute pulling out of my driveway. And that's when I remembered that mum and dad had hired a contractor to work on our pergola in the backyard. And he had like a bird's eye view of my entire, but he was a classy dude. He just kind of left the invoice tucked under the like doormat, you know. He didn't make a fuss. He knew he was witnessing something very private. And
oh my God, do you think he invoiced for like more or less?
Well, he should have, I think he should have. We should have given him more and maybe, you know, some counselling. Maybe he could have met with you, Susie.
Have you ever told this to your parents?
No, I haven't. And my mum might be listening right now. So mum, love you and thank you and happy birthday.
Birthday today.
No, but 1610 is. So, geez. All right. She must have been having fun those days.
So, do you reckon this has impacted you? Has it really settled into your emotional and sexual fabric?
I think I grew up Catholic and I think there's always been a weird guilt level associated with masturbation for me. Is that common, Susie?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why do you think that is? Because I think for me it wasn't about going to hell or God punishing me or something. It was more like, I don't know, like once you start doing this, you're opening up Pandora's box, pardon the pun, and like losing all your purity and your goodness. Is that something you hear a lot?
And we're still not really very sex positive, even though we try to be in the Western world. Mm. In the 1990s, as recently as that, the American Surgeon General was made to resign by, of all people, Bill Clinton.
Mm. Because
she advocated masturbation in that it would be taught as part of natural, healthy sexuality in schools.
Bill wasn't into that.
Seemingly not. Or he wasn't into her, one or the other. Yeah.
Earlier we talked about using toys in the bedroom. We've got a text here. There's nothing more fun than using toys with your girlfriend during playtime. They love it. Swallow your pride and enjoy it. Plus, there's very few guys who don't let their ego get in the way. Is that something that you encounter a lot, Susie, where it's kind of bruised egos with this kind of thing?
Look, for both sexes, yes. Yeah. Girls will come upon her, you know, a girl will come upon her boyfriend masturbating to porn and for some people it's like, yeah, wow, oh, I didn't know you did that. And for others it's absolutely devastating. It's as bad as a betrayal.
Yeah. Some people even think of it as like forms of cheating.
Mm. Oh, absolutely. It can be really, really upsetting for some people.
People even think that with a sex toy? Is that what you're saying?
Like, yeah.
So if like someone walked in on me with a blow-up doll, that could potentially be, that's cheating?
That's cheating. Well, it depends like what photograph you've got stuck to the face.
Sure,
you know,
sure,
there's
sure.
A whole bunch of factors going on.
Look, for the record, I haven't used a blow-up doll. I've got nothing against it. I just haven't found a balloon I have any real chemistry with yet, but I'm still looking.
So from
it's
from,
all about relationships.
It is.
You want a sex toy that, you know, can share a conversation with you.
Absolutely.
That can be on your level. Now, from this horrific experience of you being caught masturbating by a tradie when you were 15, do you have any questions? Do you want to do like a debrief with Susie? Get anything, you know, off your chest about it?
Okay. First question would be, do you think you could, just by looking at me, do you think I could ever perhaps get a trade and work on a job site?
I'd stay with comedy.
Shots fired.
I really want to fit in with the boys, I think, and I've been maybe overcompensating ever since with that. No, I'm just one of you, I promise. I promise. I didn't know you were there. I'm sorry.
My name's Hannah Riley, and here with me is Susie Tuckwell, sex and relationships counsellor, and comedian Cameron James. Since it is Valentine's Day, we're getting in the romantic mood and talking about mazzing. Now, Cameron, you have a fiancé. You've been together for 10 years.
Yep.
What's the diplomacy of masturbating in a long-term relationship?
Just do it, but be discreet. Just duck off into the laundry. We've never really had a proper like boundary rules discussion.
So she's hearing it right now.
Yeah, listen, I go into the laundry, I turn on the dryer, I sit on it, I have fun. You know? I think about you. I love you. Happy Valentine's Day.
It's been a great 10 years.
Yeah.
Nicole, thank you so much for calling the hookup.
Yeah, no worries. How are you tonight?
Yeah, lovely. Now, you wanted to ask a question about boyfriends and watching porn.
Yeah, I've got some girlfriends who are just really weirded out by their boyfriends watching porn, and the guys aren't terribly articulate, and I was just wondering about a way to find some advice on how to get these guys to have a conversation about it, really.
This is where I'll tag in Susie Tuckwell.
Yeah.
Hi, Nicole. Look, you and your girlfriends are, I think, being really sensible, actually, about asking to have that conversation. And as Cameron's just said, you know, so many couples don't ever quite get round to talking about what is the implicit contract in your relationship, what is okay and what isn't okay. And porn and masturbation can be just such a hot topic for that reason. And if you can just somehow at the right time, not after sex, but just when you're sitting and, you know, I don't know, breakfast on Saturday morning or something, find a time to really say, let's talk about what's okay. What do you think is okay? Is, you know, a one night stand's okay? Is porn okay? Is how, what are these rules? And then hearts don't get broken.
Yeah, I personally think that porn is completely fine. I just have some friends who, as soon as they found out their boyfriends were watching it, completely shut down and were like, you're not allowed to watch this anymore. Why are you thinking about other people? And it's just a really huge issue for them.
Yes, yes. And for those people, it sounds like, first of all, the boyfriend isn't aware of the impact it's having on their partners. And also the girls maybe are feeling really compared or put down or wondering, am I enough for you? What do you want? What are you getting out of this that you're not getting out of the relationship with me? Conversation is what fixes that.
Cameron, what do you think? Can porn and sexy thoughts be cheating?
I'd love to say on behalf of the dudes in relationships here, often it's not even about, when you're looking at porn, it's not about like comparing or thinking about other people. It literally is like color and movement. It's like it's like caveman stuff. It's just like, that bounces. I like bouncy things. Cool. I want a bouncy thing too. You know, it's really got nothing to do with what the other person is like. It's just like, that looks good at the moment. And then now I'm done. And now I'm going to look at you again, sort of
and
thing.
And now I look at the expression on your face and I'm really in trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
You're listening to The Hookup here on Triple J on Sunday nights. It's a show all about sex and relationships. However, tonight it's pretty much been fapping central. We've been talking about masturbating all night and I am joined by the lovely Susie Tuckwell. She's a sex and relationships counsellor, and comedian Cameron James. And unfortunately, we've run out of time. It's absolutely flown by. Thank you both so much for joining.
Time flies when you're talking about wanking.
It certainly does. And thank you so much. You both got partners.
Absolutely.
Yet you're spending it here with me talking about masturbating.
We love you, Hannah.
I'll stop it.
Okay.
No, stop
it. We don't
it.
Love you anymore.
Now, next week on The Hookup, O Week is coming up, so there's a lot of sex to be had on university campuses all across Australia. Now, we're going to be talking about sleeping around. A lot of people think hookup culture can be quite cold and heartless, but surely there's ways to be kind to each other when you're sleeping around, like ethical sex. Have you ever asked yourself how to have a respectful one-night stand? Like, what are the rules of etiquette? Who pays for the contraception? We're also going to be looking at STIs, telling people you have them, the question of kissing and telling, and how can we hook up without hurting one another? Hey, happy Valentine's Day.
The Hookup with Hannah Riley. Love and f***ing on Triple J.